After 30 years of sanctions, Iran's economy is showing signs of cracks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is in China today, asking Asian governments to stop doing oil business with Iran. China, however, doesn't look like it's going to sever any ties. And Geithner's visit comes as the U.S. State Department demanded Iran free an American citizen the country convicted as a spy and is now sentenced to death. Now, tensions between the U.S. and Iran have been near a boiling point for more than three decades, and the country's weathered all kinds of economic sanctions. But with the West's move to isolate its central bank and perhaps implement an even bigger oil embargo, Iran's economy is really feeling the squeeze, as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains.
Iran is almost entirely dependent on petro-revenue, with oil making up about 80% of exports. Tighter sanctions on Iranian oil could be devastating.
There's just an utter crisis of confidence right now in the Iranian economy.
Karim Sajapour follows Iran for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He says that crisis in confidence has caused Iran's currency, the rial, to lose about half its value in the last 2 months.
When I talk to people who are in Tehran, they describe a mood of panic and frenzy, long lines outside of banks, people desperate to get their money out of the country or desperate to change their rials to either dollars or gold.
So ordinary Iranians are suffering, but thanks to oil revenues, the country's leaders may persevere. Sajapour says a drop in the price of oil could help topple the regime, but it would have to be a big drop to around $50 a barrel. The current price is twice that much and expected to rise. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
In Berlin today, German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Nicolas Sarkozy meet for the first time this new year. But the two will talk about old problems for the Eurozone and for their countries. European debt, treaties to allow for more budget control of Eurozone nations. Well, Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest on that meeting and what's expected. Hey, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Is today's meeting more likely, do you think, to bear any fruit than any of the other meetings we've had? I mean, there have been dozens of these things since the European debt crisis blew up, right?
Although not for want of trying. These two meet so often now, they're almost merging into one leader called Merkozy. But the trouble is, deep down, they're still divided. The French still believe the only way to stop this crisis is for the European Central Bank to print money, while the Germans say absolutely not. That's anathema to the Germans.
So what are they talking about today, then?
Well, about this so-called fiscal union treaty. This emerged at a summit late last year. The plan to compel all the governments that use the euro to balance their budgets in future so they don't run up huge debts in future. Now, the treaty probably won't be finalized until the end of March. It probably won't be ratified until April at the earliest. And critics say it's irrelevant anyway. It's fiddling while Rome and much of the Eurozone burns because it doesn't deal with the existing debt of some Eurozone countries. Some of these could still default, especially since the Eurozone economy as a whole is deteriorating. Here's Sony Kapoor of a think tank called Redefine.
The economy is starting to seize up. We are probably going to see a recession in the euro area, in particular in Greece and Spain, and also probably in Italy. So things are, at this current point in time, getting worse.
So the eurozone could still blow up, and that's still casting a large shadow over the U.S. recovery.
Mm. All right, Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are slightly lower at the moment, although shares in France are pretty much even. In Asia, the Hong Kong market rose about percent and a half. Alcoa releases its quarterly report later today, the beginning of corporate earnings season. Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 55 points to end the day at 12,359.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
The U.S. Supreme Court today looks at the case of Sackett versus the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The issue started out as a minor wetlands dispute in Idaho. Well, many conservatives now are hoping a nod in their favor will dilute the EPA's power. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports.
Mike and Chantel Sackett are an Idaho couple who started building their dream home back in 2005. That is, until the EPA accused them of building on federally protected wetlands. The agency issued an administrative compliance order. The Sacketts had to stop building and restore the property to its original condition, or face fines of over $30,000 a day.
We think this is a very important case because the Sacketts really exemplify what is wrong with the EPA today.
That's Jim Burling at the Pacific Legal Foundation. He says this is a classic case of government overreach. That's why the Sacketts are getting support from big oil and other corporate polluters. They're pushing the Supreme Court to make it easier to challenge EPA compliance orders. Patrick Parento is a professor at Vermont Law School.
This case is about whether individuals who receive administrative orders from EPA are entitled to go straight to court and challenge the agency's authority to even issue the order.
If the Sacketts win this one, it could deprive the EPA of a key enforcement tool. The agency issues nearly 3,000 of these compliance orders every year. Larry Levine at the Natural Resources Defense Council says conservatives are painting the Sacketts as David and the EPA as Goliath. But in his book,
industry and polluters are the Goliath here, and EPA is more in the role of the David, trying to defend the environment.
Pat Parento expects the court's conservative justices will aim their slingshots at the EPA, but it'll be a close decision. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Finally, a Chinese scientist devised a buffet-busting scheme for diners in Beijing, stymied by Pizza Hut China's one-bowl, one-visit salad bar policy. He instructed customers to start with a strong dry foundation, chickpeas and potatoes, then lay carrot sticks as a base for a second level, constructing walls of cucumbers and blocks of fruit. The tower could reach 3 feet, but alas, after one too many diners attempted the edible engineering feat, Pizza Hut China squashed the salad bar altogether. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Ask what's next for television, and you might get some answers like this.
Television is the engine that drives the entertainment business.
Remember, this is 4 to 5 hours a day for the average adult.
Anything you can get on a normal TV, you can get on an Xbox.
The only question is, how long does the future take to unfold?
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the future of TV at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.